Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. Amen. Well, good evening, everybody. Y'all can have a seat. Amen. We don't want y'all standing up too long here tonight. Amen. It's good to see everybody here tonight. Everybody glad you're back tonight.
Amen.
Amen. We had a great service last night. Where'd Cody go? He done left. Oh, okay. Well, now I'll have to ad lib if it's up to me tonight. Amen. But anyhow, it's good to be back here tonight with you guys. We're looking for a great night tonight. One more night tomorrow night. I'm going to open us up in prayer and we'll continue on with the service. Father God, I thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. This is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you for every good and perfect thing that you've given us, Lord. We're undeserving of any and all of it. But, God, we thank you for loving us enough to send your son to die for us. God, we want to pray for Cody tonight and for the singing tonight, Lord, that you would just anoint them with the Holy Spirit. Lord, that your will and your way will be done. And, God, that it'll be nothing about any of us, but all about you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay, let's all get our hymnals again, and we'll turn to page 493. We'll all stand again for this one. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse, 493. This time I'm going to call on Emma Walker. She's going to sing while our offering is being taken up. So if we'll have a couple of ushers come up about halfway through the song.
Then you look at
Guys, we're going to take a minute and just fellowship and greet each other here for a second, but I want to welcome some of Cody's friends over here and Kate's friends. These are some...
Kate set this whole thing up, and it's all of then some of her team at Morgan County. So.
Amen. Nothing like surprises in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But anyhow, y'all make them feel welcome. Now let's greet each other for a few minutes. Let's go ahead and get this recording right now. My heart. almost as good a looking as I am. Amen. Almost.
Oh.
Almost. Cody, bless her heart.
Dad, you're turning white. You can't talk at all.
Sign of wisdom.
It's good to be here tonight. I do want to say on behalf of my Young Life team, Morgan County, thank y'all for coming. It means the world that y'all would drive all the way down here to listen to me preach. Yeah, man, I'm excited. So to catch y'all up, those who weren't here last night, we talked about Joshua. I did say Joseph a couple of times, but they got the point. Joshua led... Leading the two times, Pep. Two times. Joshua led the Israelites out of the desert into the promised land. And we talked about how a lot of times when there's a promise, there's a problem in front of the promise. And that what did Joshua do? He told the Ark of the Covenant, which is representative of God, said, walk God right into the problem. And that's when things started to unfold. But tonight what I want to talk about, I'm sure that you're familiar with it, but I'm going to talk about putting on the armor of God. And what does it mean when we're in the desert before we even make it to the river? What does it mean when you're in the desert and life circumstances turn and you need something to defend yourself? And biblically, how does that look? And that's what we're going to look in. I'm going to try to answer two questions tonight. My question is how to defend these attacks. And the second one is what has God done about them? And so if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
Yes.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day comes... The day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's where we're going to stop tonight. So before Paul even gets really going good, he kind of goes ahead and lets us know there's a big... We're not talking about flesh and blood. We're not talking about... This is not something... We're not defending ourselves from a person, that there's something beyond this that's behind it that we can't see.
That's right.
That there's something evil, just like there's something good. And he says it's in the heavenly realms. Paul then goes on to say, he says it twice. He says, stand firm then. So Paul's letting us know off of the jump. He's saying, have you watched those old movies? The Roman soldiers, they're standing and they have, you know, the sword and the shield. And they're standing, they're all lined up. Now they're standing ready, but there's a big difference in standing ready before the enemy has hit you. Now that, and Paul's saying, okay, you're standing ready before. Now the enemy's come. Stand firm then. Lean in then. Hold your ground there. Stand firm then. And then it says, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What is truth? What is truth? Truth is a concrete reality that has not been created or manipulated by human reality. I'm going to say that again. Truth is a concrete reality that has not been created or manipulated by human reality. Listen, we live in a world today that you can't... my little human brain cannot define truth.
Yeah, that's right.
Truth, we discover truth. Truth comes from the Word of God.
That's
who,
right.
Who are we to think that we are going to just create truth in our life?
That's right. Yeah.
truth is also, I think, what Paul is trying to get at for here. Okay, the way that you need to defend yourself with this belt of truth is you need to know the truth about who you are and who Christ is. You need to know, if you believe that Jesus Christ came into the world, He was sinless, died a sinner's death, conquered the grave, and that He was who He says He was, which is the Son of God, then you are justified freely. Romans 3:24. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Listen, you are justified freely. You're justified freely. This is who you have become now that you believe in Jesus. This is bottom line, baseline truth that every believer has to understand as who you are at the core. As you're justified, you're free.
Yes.
Truth trumps feelings.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Truth trumps. I don't care if you don't feel, free, you don't feel like God loves you, you don't feel like you're worthy. Truth trumps feelings. You got to know that when Jesus, what He did on the cross, it goes over whatever you feel inside. And I know we have a society and a culture today that is all about feelings, all about being politically correct, all about let's care about it. Listen, truth trumps feelings. I don't care how you feel tonight as you walk into this room, but I'm telling you, if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you are justified.
Yes,
that is who you are.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The next thing, continuing in verse 14, it says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. What is righteousness? And I'm going to try to define this through Philippians 3:9. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. It's not your own.
Yes.
It's a free gift. Your righteousness is a free gift. You were justified freely because of what Jesus... It's all about Jesus. We want to make... We want to get... Take credit for our salvation. We want to take credit for our... There's an analogy that a man is standing on a dock. And he decides to go for a swim. And so he swims out into the water. Right? And this man... Some people we see our salvation as a God standing on the dock, throwing out a buoy and rescuing us in, and we had to kind of swim our way back to the dock. But that's not how this went down at all. God jumped in the water, and He was standing on the bottom of the water holding you up so you could breathe, and He died for you. It's all about Him. Grace is all about Him.
That's right.
And you were justified. Righteousness is a gift by believing in Jesus. And this breastplate that describes, what does the breastplate protect? It protects the heart.
Right.
And he's saying, okay, take the truth. You got to take the truth. And see, what a breastplate would do is it would fasten onto truth. And you would have, can't you just see Paul? He's looking at these Roman soldiers. And he starts, the Holy Spirit just moves in him. He's like, all right. And he starts writing down. And he's saying, the belt of truth they would wear every day. And then they would put on the breastplate, and it would attach to the truth. So what I think what Paul is trying to tell us here is they go hand in hand. You got to know who you are in Christ. So when the day comes and you're tempted and you're troubled, you got to know who you are in Him and you're justified. I'm going to keep telling you, you got to know who you are in Him, because this is bottom line stuff. Every believer should know and rehearse. You should put this garment on every day before you leave the house, that I am true, I am justified, I'm not a faker, He loves me even if I don't feel it, and I am righteous, declared righteous. It's not my own.
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So after you would have the belt, and then you would have the breastplate, and then he says, okay, into verse 15, he says, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I try to define peace in John 16:33. And before I read it, this is the portion of Scripture where the disciples, they're talking to Jesus and they're dialoguing, and they're like, He starts prophetically speaking, okay, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to die. And I'm going to rise again, but then I'm going to ascend into heaven and you're not going to be with me. And I'm going to pass off the Holy Spirit to you, which is good for you.
Yeah.
And then he says, We're going to pick up in John 16:33. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Before I go any further, the reason I've talked about struggle the last two nights is because this is the words of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. What are we going to do as believers when it happens? What are we going to do? Take heart, I have overcome the world. Paul uses the feet. He's saying, okay, I believe Paul is saying, you got the belt of truth. You know who you are. You got the chest plate. Now ready yourself. Stand firm on that. It's the gospel of peace. It's about what Christ did. Stand firm knowing the truth, which is the good news, the gospel, that though you were a sinner, Christ died for you. That though you were wicked, He made you clean. Yes. Can I get an amen?
Amen. That's right.
Yes, sir.
This is the one thing that every believer should be working towards, is how truly, in real time, real life, real talk, right now, how can I actually find joy in suffering? If it's going to happen, how can I be anchored and have identity and purpose and passion and know who I am in Christ while going through chaotic stuff? Man, that is what separates Christians from the rest of the world.
That's right.
He goes on. And so the first three things that he lists, those are things we should put on every day. This is something, if you don't have this somewhere in your possession, I would highly encourage you. This is identity stuff for believers. You have to know these things. And then he says, he uses the language, take up. Starting in verse 16, he says, in addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So take it up. The other things that this is what you put on every day, but now he's given us an arsenal. He's saying it's kind of like a baseball player. When a baseball player is going to play a game, he's going to have his outfit. Right, he's going to have his jersey, his pants, his socks, his shoes. But then when he's on offense, he's going to have a bat. When he's on defense, he's going to have a glove. It's the same thing Paul's saying. These are tools that you can use to defend and come back at Satan when he comes towards you. The first one is the shield of faith. Hear me, faith is more than a belief. It requires you to be living it out. I mean, James, that's a hard reality. But James 2, the whole thing is faith without works is dead.
That's it. That's right.
If you believe in something, your life should reflect what you're living. If you believe that the goal of the gospel, the good news, what God calls us to is to go out and show the world that He is good and that He justifies, and this is a free gift. Listen, my life, if you devote your life, young life leaders, they devote their life. Listen,
yes.
They see the problem. I'm going to go into the schools and I'm going to live this thing out.
Yes. Yes.
And he says, okay, you have this shield of faith now. You have this shield of faith that I can move forward when attack is coming because I know my faith is real.
Yes,
I'm moving forward.
Amen.
Why does Paul use flaming arrows? He says, to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's how Satan works, is it not? Look at your life. You're sitting here and you're trying to stand firm, but what does he want to do? You can't fight a fire and fight the enemy at the same time. Let me just get him so distracted. Let me just get her so distracted where she doesn't know what's up, down, left, or right, to where she's trying to micromanage her life and just move around. Let me fix this. Let me fix this. Let me come over here, try to make this more clean. And then you can't even concentrate on what you're supposed to do. He's saying, listen, with this shield of faith, you can put everything behind you. You're fully dressed. You're ready. Your faith, you can move forward with while Satan is attacking, confident in what you have in Christ.
That's right. Yes.
The next thing he addressed is the helmet of salvation. This is the one that a lot of people close in my life, this is what I need to hear, is why does he say the helmet of salvation? the mind. What is it about salvation that when Satan comes at me and tries to attack me in my mind, I have an offense, that I can defend myself in my mind through the salvation?
That's right.
You know the lies. Come on, you know the lies. Don't you know your heart can condemn you like that?
That's right.
Everything can be good, and then all of a sudden your thought just tries to tell you you're never going to break free of this addiction. Your heart's going to tell you you're weak, you're worthless, you're a nobody, you're not beautiful.
That's right.
Jesus doesn't love you. He didn't die for you. Yeah, this is just a family tradition. We just have suicidal thoughts. Get over it. This is a family tradition. We just all kind of, we're addicted to drugs. This is just the way it is. Come on, just deal with it. Come on, get a thicker skin. I'm coming at you, but this is the way it is. You know how your mind can get it. And what is it? What is Paul trying to tell us about salvation? Listen, put on this helmet of salvation because you have to remember. Listen, I was dead, but now I am alive. I was lost, and now I am found. And listen, you can step forward and say, this is not my home. We are supposed to be like aliens here. This is not my home. My home is salvation. So it doesn't matter what happens to me in this life. Preach to me all you want. I know my identity. I have my belt of truth. I have my chest plate of righteousness. I'm standing firm with the gospel of peace. I've got my shield of faith. And I'm ready. Come from my mind. Come on. I know who I am. I know this is not my life. This is not my home.
That's right.
Psalms 62 verse 1. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. That's enough said. The last one is the Word of God as a sword. This is the only thing we have as an offense. I mean, I guess you could take the shield and kind of swing it around like Gladiator or something, but this is our only offensive weapon. The Word of God. I talked about it a little bit last night. Jesus gets affirmed while He's in the water. He says, "You're my Son with whom I'm loved. With You I'm well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit comes down. The heavens are torn open. But then the Spirit leads Him into the desert to be tempted. Let me flip. Oop. I'm out of my head. Then Jesus goes out into the wilderness and He's being tempted. If we look at it, in Matthew 4, the tempter came to Him and said, "If You are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Now remember, He's been in here for 40 days. He's fasting. He's hungry. And Satan comes to tempt Him and say, "Hey, turn this into bread. Come on, I mean, You're Jesus. You're about to perform. I know who You are." Satan knows who He is. Turn the stone to bread. What does He say? "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He tempts Him again. And then on the third time, He said, "Again the devil took Him to the very high mountain and showed Him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give You," He said, "if you would bow down and worship Me." Can you imagine Satan saying, "I'll give you all of this," when it's not already Jesus? I just think that's comical. It's all right to laugh. That was my one tough crowd. All right. that was a weak joke, but I mean, let me show a little grace. "If you bow down, I'll give you all of this if you'll bow down and worship Me. Away from Me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." So we see right here that Jesus is a living proof. Listen, I'm going to combat what He says with truth out of the Word of God. This is how I'm going to fight. I've got my armor. I'm ready. But when it's time, when I stand firm and I know what's going on, I'm going to take it to Him. That's why it's important to get into the Word of God. Not only just so you can know who Jesus is, fall more in love with Jesus, but also so you have tools. So you know what He says about you. So you know how crazy He is about you. Hopefully up to this point, you can see what I see. Yo. Whoa, here we go. Mic check. I was about to break out in singing there for a minute. Tasha Cobbs. Oh. All right, where was I at? Okay, hopefully up to this point, you can see what I see. That you can see, okay, there's, look into the world. There's definitely evil in the world. And I'm sure the Bible tells me, Jesus tells me, that in this life you will have trouble. So I'm sure you've dealt with a lot of the things I've talked about. And so how, okay, hopefully you see what I see. You see there's an enemy. You see that Paul has given us tools. But now I want to ask the question, why would it be necessary for me to struggle and have hardship in this life? And what has Christ done about it? Why is it necessary? Like, you would think, in my mind, you would think that, okay, I believe in Jesus, everything, it's just going to be smooth sailing from here on out. We're just going to coast on into eternity. We're going to walk in, big pearly gates, be like, oh my gosh, you're crazy, Jesus, those are awesome. Maybe, I don't know, steal some of the gold on the streets, take a nice swim in the pearly water. You know, like, that's how my mind works. Why would we not just float on into eternity? I'm going to read three passages. I know I let a lot... I have read a lot of Scripture tonight. I sounded like Patrick there for a minute. I'm going to start in James chapter 1. If I can get my Bible there. I thought I had it marked. Here we go. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. You've probably heard this before. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that it could be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'll drink to that.
Amen.
Whew. Perseverance must run the race.
Amen.
Perseverance must run the race. All right, let's jump over to Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. And I'm going to tie all of this in a little bit. Just hang with me. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. All right, we're jumping. Last place, Isaiah 53. If you know me, you know this is my passage. I love this passage. This is written 700 years before Jesus Christ was ever even showing up to the scene. Isaiah's just prophesying. He's prophesying that there is going to come a Savior. There is going to come a Savior. And He is going to do some miraculous things. And He says in Isaiah 53, I'm going to start in verse 4. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we were healed.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to jump to verse 10. This is might be one of the most powerful passages in Scripture and makes my mind explode. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush Him. It was the Lord's will to crush Him and cause Him to suffer. And though the Lord makes His life a guilt offering, He will see His offerings and prolong His days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in His hands. So what is, let's just kind of, I'm going to bring it all back around and maybe we can get all of it together. We put on the full armor of God. Why? Because perseverance, there's something that happens when we persevere that it makes us more like Christ. That as Satan comes at us and we defend, we're growing, we're adding ammunition to ourselves, and we're saying, listen, in his death, I have died in his death, and I will be raised again with him one day. Let's lean into it, persevere, because as perseverance finishes race, we become full and complete, not lacking anything.
That's right.
Not lacking anything. Let me tell you something. God loves when you're suffering and you lean in and you approach him because you
That's
know
right.
that he knows what you're feeling.
Yep.
Yes. We have a great high priest who is able to relate to anybody in this life. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He's been tempted in every way. So you tell me, your financial statement, your doctor's report.
That's right.
You got a drug addiction. You don't feel beautiful. You don't feel worthy. You don't feel holy. You don't feel... And Satan's just coming at you and he's saying, listen, persevere, lean in, because there's something that happens where we become more like him. And eventually, as you get older, your armor gets stronger and you can stand firm in the battles. This is what we're called to live. This is... We should be a lighthouse to the world.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We should be a lighthouse to the world. They should see, man, I don't know what it is about those Christians, but they're different.
Yes.
Yeah. Man, their life is falling apart, but they have joy in their suffering.
Yeah. That's right.
This is what we should be leaning in and working on and working towards. It's how can I, God, let it be less of me and more of you. Can I learn how to use what you've given me to use effectively to where Satan has no sting anymore?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush Jesus Christ. What did he ever do but heal? What did he ever do but try to restore blind eyes, open deaf ears? What did he do? Why would God say, listen, crush him. Crush my son. Parents, think about your children. Just can you imagine that where you would have to say, crush him? It's because he loves you and me that much. What a loving Father we have that he says, I will send my son, even though he was sinless, and he will die a sinner's death to save you because you can't save yourself.
Amen. That's right, brother.
It's the good news of the gospel. Let's pick up our armor. Let's stand firm in this day and age. Let's plant our feet and say, listen, he's good. He's holy. He's worth it.
Yes,
can I get an amen?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Woo!
Amen.
There's so much to be in love with Jesus about.
That's right.
Yeah. And the more I started falling in love with Jesus, the more I started realizing, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Who is this God? Who is this God? That he meets me in my pain. That he meets me right where I'm at. Says we're all like sheep. We've all gone astray.
That's right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
But he took the sin of us all and he took it on the cross. Lean into that. That's all I got. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your son. God, I pray that you allow us to use the armor of God to defend ourselves in this day and age. Let us have the truth of who you are and who we are, that we are justified, we are righteous in your sight. Let us have this helmet of salvation that, man, I was dead, but now I'm alive. Let us have this shield of faith. Let us have this word of God. And then let us plant our feet in this good news, in this peace of the gospel. Lord, I just pray if there's any heart in here that walked in this room and felt condemned, has been fighting mentally,
yes,
that their financial records just, man, it's just one thing after another, and it's like, how am I going to get through? If their marriage is struggling, I don't know what the circumstance is. God, would you meet them right where they are? Would you tell them, put this armor on you? Stand firm. God, would they let you walk out in front of them? Let God walk into the water. Let God walk into the problem. And you put on your armor of God and know who you are in him. And he'll see you through it in this life or the next. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I was... drag you there, Jeff. This old Bill and Lyle will start singing. You know, just like in the early church of Pentecost, that thing got shook up, amen. Guys, listen to me. I was talking to Cody today about this for a second. We're going to have a little invitation here in a minute. But you know, sometimes I tell him, I'm like, son, he told me, he said, Dad, preaching is a tough job. I said, you got to come right in this. It's a tough job. I was like, but you know what? Sometimes God gives us God moments when he expects us to share something. And I just felt like off your sermon today, I just felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me down here. And I want to piggyback off of what you said for a minute, because by his stripes, we truly are healed. Amen.
That's right.
We are healed. We don't have to fear death. Those of us that are born again believers.
Amen.
And I want to just share something about a brother of mine right over here right now. Right now, I'm going to pick on you. Is that all right with you? I ain't picking on you. I'm picking with you. Amen. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how great God is. We serve a great God. Amen. We serve an awesome God. We serve a Lord and Savior who loves us. He loved us enough that he sent his son Jesus to die for us. And I'm gonna tell you a little story right here. Rodney's going to give his testimony this Sunday at church. I want to invite you to come and be a part of that, because it's going to be quite a powerful testimony. But let me share something with you here. This is how God works. And I'm so proud of what you young people are doing right here. Let me just tell you this. I get excited. I'm kind of a little older than some of these folks here. Amen. But not as old as some. All right. Amen. Not as old as some. I'm old as a few, but not as old as some. Amen. I said, if you took that row out, the average age in here would be about 40 this service. Amen. I have to pick on my friend Pep, and my dad's back there with him too. So when you put them two together, I mean, they basically stowed away with Noah on the way over here. Amen. But we're glad to have them with us tonight. Amen. Amen. You know, part of preaching is stand-up comedy. Amen. You understand, right? But I want to share something with you. Let me tell you what God does. Because we need to hear this. We need to hear what God can do when you have faith. First of all, we've shared this before, but I want to kind of piggyback off of Rodney. We had a God moment at the gas station tonight.
Yes, sir.
You realize that some friends of theirs came up and they saw him and went around over there, and word's getting out around the community. Hey, Rodney, we're hearing good things about you. We're hearing you're changing, man. You're not the same person you were. You know why? Because he's accepted Jesus as his Savior. We're going to baptize him. We're going to baptize him first Sunday in November. So he's not the same person he was, but you know what? He's facing persecution right now because his friends are laughing at him. They're saying it's not for real. It's not going to last. That's not how it's going to be. But let me tell you something. I think he'll attest to this. God has done some great things in his life in the span of a few weeks. Rodney, about how many weeks ago was it that you were pursuing drugs and you were doing all these kind of things and you were just going down wandering around in darkness?
3 weeks.
3 or 4 weeks ago. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit of God entered this man, he hasn't touched anything in 3 or 4 weeks. Praise God. He is a new creature in Christ. In Christ, we're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come.
Amen.
He's a new creature in Christ right now. His children, let me tell you what. His three children, three of his children, we baptized all three of them on first Sunday in September. Now their dad's getting baptized first Sunday in November. Amen. How many times do you get to see the whole family come to know the Lord in the span of about 2 or 3 months? Amen. God has done some great things, some powerful things in their life. But I'm going to tell you what. We're going to pray for him after this service is over. We're going to come up here and we're going to lay some hands on him and pray for him. And I want to pray for this group right here, because let me tell you something. You have an awesome opportunity to impact young people. I've taught school. I've been in the school system for almost 30 years now. I've headed up our Fellowship of Christian Athletes for 24 years at Greene County High School. And I'm going to tell you something. Our young people need Jesus. Amen. Everybody needs Jesus. Don't get me wrong. But our young people need to understand who Jesus is. They need to understand that, hey, it's not okay to continue to going on around and living in darkness and claiming that you're in the light. Cody and I talked about this today. He's like, Dad, I understand now why you spent a long, long time talking from the book of 1 John. You see, I felt the Lord laid that on my heart, because there are a lot of people that are just going through the motions.
They're coming to church. They're checking it off their checklist every Sunday, but they couldn't be farther away from Jesus than the East is from the West.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, when you find Jesus, when you know Jesus, whoo, you kick your feet up, amen. You want to get up and run around and shout a little bit, and that's okay too, because I'm going to tell you what, I'm proud of his two sons. They come to school and they bring their Bible, and Dylan was getting carried away one day in there in the home room, and he had a girl back there in the back saying, "You need some Jesus in your life." I was like, "Well, son, hold on a minute now. You know, she doesn't need some Jesus, but he had his Bible out." And I was proud to see that. I really was. But guys, this is what God can do. This is what God can do. Our job is to sow the seed. I want you to understand that. I think sometimes we get this out of perspective, and I know you guys may have felt the same way. Our job is not to grow the seed and water the seed and fertilize the seed. Our job is to sow the seed. Amen. And when you sow seeds into the lives of young people and you keep praying for that and God waters those seeds and God puts the right circumstances in your life, guess what? Those seeds are going to germinate and they're going to come up. And then when that seed gets good and fertilized, then you're going to get on fire for the Lord and you'll never be the same again.
Yes.
You know what? We're going to wander off the path sometimes, but let me tell you something. You will always, always know who you are in Christ when you really have Jesus living in your heart.
Amen.
You'll always know that. And I want to pray for these guys, and I'll pray for Rodney's got a job interview tomorrow. Let me tell you something. This is how good God is. This is the place he used to work at, but his life got so messed up, they said, hit the road. Now they said, hey, come on back. We hear you're doing good. Now we hear you've changed. We want to give you another interview. Amen. Tomorrow he's got an interview for a job. Praise the Lord for that. And God's just doing some great things here, man. I tell you what, it's just amazing what goes on around here from week to week. But Cody, your sermon was point on. You got to put that armor on. If you don't have that armor on, let me tell you something. Sin is powerful.
Yes.
You will follow the pathway of sin far sooner than someone will follow the pathway of righteousness. I can guarantee you that.
Amen.
I preached on a subject a while back. Bad company corrupts good character.
Yes.
And I want to piggyback off that and I want to emphasize that. Guys, it's about who you're hanging around with in life. We need to purge our friends list. And we need to get right with the Lord. And we need to take that message out. And we need to do it in a loving way.
Yeah.
You see, I get excited and I get to hollering and stuff every now and then. But I understand one thing. You can't force it down somebody's throat.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You got to let them come to that. And you got to let them come to that knowledge. But I want to challenge you tonight while we're doing this hymn of invitation here. To come up and pray. And I still believe and I know within my heart because... When I preached this sermon a while back, I gave you some statistics. And these were from some fairly famous evangelists over the years. And here's what they said. Dr. Billy Graham, Vance Havner, and some of these great, great men of God over the years said, you know what, at any given time, on any given Sunday, any given church service, that there's probably as many as 60 to 80% of the people in that congregation who are lost. At any given time. Now, that's pretty eye-opening to me to think that, oh my goodness, we got a church full of lost people. Well, yeah, you know, you think about it. How many people are really walking the walk and talking the talk? You know, we got to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Amen.
Yes.
So I want to challenge you tonight to come up here. And, you know, maybe we need to rededicate our lives. Some people just wander off the path. That happened in my life. I knew I was saved the whole time, but we need to get back right with God. We need to come back around here because I'm going to tell you what. After that debate last night, how many of y'all saw that debate? Or excuse me, I'm going to rename it the debacle last night. Amen. Boy, we need some help. Amen. We need to pray and we need to just, God, I don't know what we're going to do with this here because, you know, it's like choosing Satan or Lucifer. I don't know which one to go with. Amen. They both are the same person, right? Just a different name. Amen. But I didn't say that. I hope I didn't offend anyone. Amen. But anyway, guys, I just want to challenge you to let go and let God have control of your life.
Yes.
Don't be ashamed of who you are in Christ. Don't run around there and hide around the corner. When you got a chance to share about Jesus, you need to be sharing.
Yep.
These young people here are pouring out in the lives of high school people, and I commend you for that because it's a tough job. There's not a day goes by that I don't get on to some high school kids about what they're listening to. I might get a little carried away with the way I do it. I say, y'all turn that devil music off in my room. I don't want to listen to it. Amen. But, you know, there's ways to approach that. Maybe that's not exactly the best way to do it. But, hey, anyhow, we need to pray for them. We need to pray for anybody that's working with our young people. I want to especially pray for Rodney, too. So after we have this invitation hymn, I want to just ask everybody, if we can, to kind of come around and let's lay hands on and pray for these people here tonight. How about that? I mean, we don't do enough of that. Some churches are like, oh my God, y'all get up there and anoint people and pray for them? My gosh, well, it's only in James chapter 5. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it, amen? I mean, God said to do it. I'm just doing what he says. You got a problem with that? Right? But you know, hey, I love serving Jesus, and I can't help it. I get excited. But I want us to come up here, and I want us to just, you know, the altar is to lay your burdens down on. This is where you come lay your burdens down. I think some people get confused. They think that you come up here and find salvation. No, you don't find salvation here. You find salvation here, amen. First, you got to have the knowledge, then you got to have the drive in your heart, and then you find salvation. You do understand that. You come up here and you lay your burdens down here, and I want to encourage you to do that. Come up here and pray for somebody. Pray with somebody. So as we sing, what are we going to sing, baby? 414. I want to just encourage you to come up here and pray. I believe in being a praying church, amen. I believe in praying for each other. I believe in sharing each other's burdens. When you hurt, I hurt. And that's the way it ought to be. We ought not have somebody have to go and suffer alone. So come up and pray with somebody if you know somebody needs prayer. Let's go to the Lord in song right here.
Ever since I shared my testimony, I feel like my life has just done a complete
right over here. Put the hover method down on you, okay? So what I want to do is let's gather together around them, and we're going to pray for them and pray for their ministry. This is a great ministry. Cody, just tell everybody real quick what this ministry does, just for a second.
So, I mean, the background of it is to go into high schools and go after lost kids, lost and disinterested kids. Mm-hmm. And it's the ones that nobody else wants to talk to. They seem too far gone. That's kind of where Young Life points their focus. And so we have Oconee County High School. Raise your hand, Oconee County. And then we've got Morgan County. And that's half their
team. We love y'all anyway, Morgan. Amen.
Listen, I'm a Morgan grad, so.
I can
be a witness firsthand. I think y'all realize how much time and effort, and you're trying to study and do well in college, but you're giving your life away at the same time. And it's just.
That's right.
Man, it is really hard sometimes, and there's no two ways about it.
That's right.
And so they feel they need prayers because there's only one who can turn the light switch on.
Yes.
And they're just the messenger. And so, I think it's a great idea for prayer.
Guys, if y'all can, we'll kind of loop around the pews right here. Just kind of come around, and we're just going to have them sit here. Are we freaking y'all out right now? Hey, I promise there are no snakes in that box up under there. Moving around, people's like, what's in that box? There's no snakes. Amen. There's a fine line between faith and foolishness. Well, we don't look at that. Guys, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to offer up a prayer for you guys in your ministry that you do. That God will continue to anoint you and use you in a powerful way, and that you will have some awesome stories to tell before this school year is over, that many kids will come to know the Lord through your ministry, and some of you may even feel like the Lord is leading you into full-time ministry. Anybody ever had that call in the group? Amen, brother. When you feel called to.
No, he's a young life. He's a full-time young life.
Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, you can jump up and pray too. But guys, I believe in the power of prayer. I've seen a lot of things happen. Let me tell you something. It'd take 2 hours for me to tell you all the prayers God's answered at this church in the last month. Because we put our faith in Him. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me tell you something. Before God can answer prayer, you got to clear your heart of any bitterness, of any anger, of any hatred. The Bible says if you come up here to bring an offering to the Lord and you realize you've transgressed against your brother, you need to leave that there, go out and make amends, and then come back. In other words, don't bring any baggage in when you're asking God to bless you. You've got to get it right with your brother. So I want to encourage you to do that if you haven't, if you're harboring any bitterness in your heart with anyone, because that will open up the channel of blessing for God to come in and bless you. But we're going to pray for them right now. Let's bow our heads, and I'm going to pray for them, and then where'd Rodney go? Then we're going to lift up a prayer for Rodney here too. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father God, Lord, I thank you for each and every one of these young people represented here tonight. God, I thank you for our young folks. I thank you for everybody that's in this building, to be honest with you, Lord, because we all are on a mission field. God, we've all been called to serve you, Lord. If we're a born-again believer, we've been given the great commission to go and share the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, you promise that you'll be with us always. And God, that's an awesome promise to know that even though I might be going down a pathway that seems so dark and seems like I'm so alone, God, that you're always going to be there with me. And God, I thank you for that assurance. And I pray your blessings on each and every one of these young life leaders here tonight. God, I pray that you will fill their hearts and their souls with you. God, that you'll fill their heads with the knowledge they need to share with young people. Lord, I know, trust me, I know there's so many things going on in the lives of these young people. There's abuse. There is neglect. There is bitterness. There's anger. There's drugs. There's alcohol. There's a world of problems that they're trying to deal with and at the same time connect you with them. And God, I just pray that you'll give them the peace and the wisdom and the knowledge they need. Lord, we're empowering them in the name of Jesus, God, to go out and share your word with them. God, to not be afraid, to not back down. Lord, to be bold, to put on that armor each and every day. And God, I'm just praying, Lord, I'm praying right now, Father, that at Oconee County High School and Morgan County High School and Greene County and Nathaniel Greene and Lake Oconee Academy and all the schools that are represented in this building right now, God, I pray great things will be done in the lives of those young people over this next year. And God, I'm praying for the courage they need and the strength they need. And Lord, we're asking all this in the name of Jesus, Lord. You tell us we have not because we ask not. God, I'm asking for a blessing for these young people right here tonight. I'm asking, Lord, for strength. I'm praying, God, when they go back into their schools, whether it be tomorrow, whether it be the next week or whatever, God, that they'll be full of the Spirit. Lord, I pray you'll bring these kids to them that have these issues and these problems, and I pray, God, you'll equip them to be able to handle those. And Lord, as only you can do, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this. I thank you for this organization that's able to go into the schools and minister to the kids, Lord, without fear of retribution and things of this nature. God, I know that what you have set aside, man, cannot and will not put aside. And Lord, we're thankful for that, Lord. And I just ask that in the precious, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And now, I want to pray for Rodney, okay? Hey, since he's up here by himself, a little crowd went around him. I mean, where's this kid at? Come on over here, Pop. Look, I got a big wingspan. I can get all the way around. Amen. We're going to pray that Rodney's job interview goes good tomorrow. Amen.
Yes.
So let's do that right now. Let's pray that God continue to bless him. We're just going to pray that, you know, Satan is in control of a lot of the affliction we have on this earth. Satan is the one that manipulates us into addictions and, yeah, and obsessions and compulsions. And what we got to do is we got to pray. First of all, we got to pray and rebuke Satan.
Amen.
Yes. Rebuke the devil and he will flee.
Yes.
Now, I don't want anybody to get a run out of here when I say the name of Jesus, Satan, I command you to come out. You know, but we've already prayed that prayer for him. But what we're praying for now is God to just guide him and direct him,
yes,
and help him to just keep growing.
Amen.
You know, when you get on fire for the Lord, when you put God first in your life, you will find a job. You will find a home. You will find a godly person coming into your life to perhaps be your soulmate from here on out. I always tell our young people, don't go looking for them. You pray for God to bring them to you when the time is right.
Yeah.
You'll always have the right person.
Yes.
I can promise you that. And I'm going to put a little plug in here, too. Amen. Because I believe God's probably good with the old coach. This is an act. But I mean, when she opens up her mouth, Dixie Crystal falls out. I mean, she is, I ain't never seen it by life. Amen. But you know what I think about? Because myself and my wife prayed for God to bring God to people into our kids' lives.
Yeah. Yes.
And I believe that's why it happened. I firmly,
yes,
believe that. I didn't leave that up to the world. I left that up to Jesus.
Amen.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll pray for Rodney and just pray for good things in his life. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord, first of all, for your saving grace and power and mercy. Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus. Jesus, I want to thank you personally, Lord, for loving us enough. God, in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And you'd have done it if there had only been one of us here. That's the amazing thing about it, Lord. And I want to pray for Rodney right now, Lord. He's got an opportunity tomorrow to get him a job again. Lord, I'm praying everything will go good. God, I'm praying you'll give him the words. I'm praying you. I know you've already prepared the hearts and minds of the people that are going to be interviewing him because they've already said they've heard of all the changes he's made. And God, that's just giving you glory. That's just glorifying you, Lord. Anytime somebody comes up and says, man, I'm hearing good things about you and you're a born-again believer, God, to you be the glory. Lord, I just pray now that you will exalt him and raise him up. And God, give him these things that he needs. And Lord, we're thankful for his kids. God, they're such godly kids. I'm so proud of every one of them. Lord, he's got a young one, too, that's coming into church. Only 3 years old. What an awesome advantage he's going to have, even over his siblings.
who haven't been gone nearly as long as he will have been by the time he gets there. And God, we're thankful for that. I'm just praying for your powerful hand of mercy on their lives. And God, I'm just thankful that we as a church can be a part of that. And Lord, I'm looking forward to his testimony Sunday. God, I'm praying to give him the strength. I'm praying to bind up Satan and cast him out from around him and not let him come around. And Lord, just like you did old Job, you built such a hedge around him that Satan had to get permission before he could even mess with him. And God, I thank you for that. And Lord, we're just praying for a great day for him tomorrow and for great things ahead for him in the future. Lord, I want to pray for Hannah. Lord, thank you for that rededication of her life. Lord, I pray you'll just fill her life with the Spirit and just put her on the right track. Lord, I know the devil's going to come calling again. He always does. As soon as we walk out these doors, Lord, we can have that on our own, but he starts throwing those fiery darts. But God, I just thank you, Lord, that we can stand firm in your word. And God, that we can hide behind your word and in your word. And Lord, I'm just praying for great things for these people here tonight that we pray for. And God, we're going to give you the glory, and all God's people shout, amen. 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 Amen.